again, I do have sort of doing this by popular request. It turns out that nobody here is their main request. So whatever. That's life. So we don't have to. I want to talk about Parshas Bereishis today, because the first two sins we have in the Torah are in Parshas Bereishis.
Okay.
I'm looking for it. We are going to look at the sin of Adam and the sin of Cain, or Cain. And the sin of Adam is on page 14, begins on 14. And the sin of Cain is begins on page 20. Okay, so we're going to do pages 14 and 20. And we're going to go pretty slow, so I don't know how we're going to cover it yet, but we'll go see what we could do with this during the course of the week. So look at the Chumash inside on page 14. The third chapter really begins the issue of the sin. As you know, the chapter divisions, however, in the Chumash are not made by Jews. They are Christian divisions into chapters. Okay. Therefore, it doesn't necessarily follow that the chapter breaks come in a place where the Jewish tradition would have placed them. There are, in fact, if you look in the Koran Tanakh does have the Jewish chapter breaks as they should be. I don't know what the source of that is.
Excuse me?
The what? Koran. It's one of the standard editions of the Tanakh. I don't know what the source of that is, but certainly this is not the way it was supposed to be divided. However, since that's the way Chumashim have been published since the printing press came into use, so therefore it's gotten, you know,
popular.
Right. So, in fact, the sin, really, the sages said actually in the last verse of the second chapter, right? You look at the last of the second chapter, the Vayush name, Arumim, Adam, Yishto, Velo, Yispo, Shoshu.
You see what Marmion is? What?
25. You don't speak of the language? 225. Chapter 2, verse 25.
Alright, so
if you want to look in Hebrew, it is a plus of Chavei.
Alright, if you count the laws down, it's
Yeah, Ron, why don't you help out, you know, come here.
I have
eight. Okay, by each name Arumim, they're both naked, the man and his wife, Adam v'Ishto, the man and his wife, below Yispo Shoshu, and they were not ashamed. Okay, so this is a fascinating pasuk, of course, because it tells us that prior to the sin, Without sin, there is no shame. Why is that?
Because there's nothing to be ashamed about.
What?
There's nothing to be ashamed about.
Okay, then it's ashamed about.
Then
it causes shame. Then why?
The Sages are hard at telling them, urging them to do the proper things. They can just go about their daily lives thinking. You're an automatic. You're automatic.
That
part says it. No
Doesn't
choice.
Shame come from
that's true?
That's true?
That's right. Well, if there's no sin, then everybody, you know, then you don't have to prove yourself. There's no chance of you becoming...
Doesn't say there's no chance of sinning.
What's
that? Doesn't say they have no option to sin.
Yeah,
well, not free will. They don't have any choice. What's an option to sin? Otherwise, how do they sin?
Because they ain't going to choose.
No, I'm asking you. What's your name?
Moshe.
Moshe, okay. What do you mean they didn't have a choice to sin?
Of course they did.
The option was open. The tree was there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But then, Rabbi, the thing that happened last time, when Ephraim is,
then all of a sudden, then the choice comes in.
But
before he said, when
they
took the
tree, before the command was given, what was the nature of a human being? Was a human being a person who possessed an entity, which possessed free will or not?
Well,
Yeah. So, in him sin?
Yes.
That's why I assume so.
Yes.
What you're saying is not incorrect.
Okay.
But I'm going to have to try and deal with it in a different way.
Okay, gotcha.
You mean to say something else, not you meant. You're right, but we'll explain.
Yeah.
Yes.
Deeper meaning.
Right, okay. Without sin there is no shame. It's not because of the fact that before they ate from the tree, they had no knowledge that they were naked. Why? Because, they were obviously naked, but they didn't know what naked was. And so until you see, if I was to put a picture of a naked woman on here, everyone's going to get bad thoughts into the head of what it looks like. Before that, they never thought about it. They didn't. It was nothing to them.
It wasn't associated with something wrong. Nakedness wasn't associated with something bad. Evil wasn't around yet.
Because they didn't know what
naked. Okay, so let's write out a few of these things. Without sin, there is no shame. No.
Indeed.
Sin is the source. No. Yetzer hara. What was something else somebody said? There was no awareness.
Can I make a small comment?
Yes, you may. Big one.
Getting back to the previous, what we just talked about before, until the second chapter, 10, 12, or 15, there was no free will because there was no command. There was.
What makes you say that?
There's no free choice, there's no nothing.
Why would you say that? The other narration was women is created. They have a choice whether to eat bananas or apples.
That's perfect, that's choice.
What is it? Of course it's a choice.
Come on.
Well, that's what you said before.
If you have a desire for pizza, is it really your choice or is it your preference?
God
will rather eat steak than his dog.
Yes, but a man could choose to eat bananas even though he doesn't like them.
Would it be accurate
to
never know?
Is there healthy
food? There's a reason why.
I don't like to move, but I'll eat it if I think it's healthy.
It's healthy, you have a reason.
That means that there's reasoning involved. The moment there's reasoning involved, there is choice involved.
Yeah.
Is that not a great
point?
Reasoning means choice.
It's not my question from before.
There were no
manners and reason.
Yeah, because we have a funnel.
Right.
There were no overtly sinful choices available at the beginning.
Okay, I agree. There are no overtly sinful choices. That's the way
I put it. No overtly
sinful choices available, but that does not mean there was no choice. Right?
Yeah. But it doesn't mean there was no sin except for eating from the tree. The first sin, a sin is defined as something that goes against the will of God of what he wants us to do. He puts them on.
How do you know that?
But Rob,
we have to do dark thing about sin.
I'm not sure. What else can sin mean? Sin means something doing bad. But what defines what's bad and what's good?
It was not bad.
Yeah, maybe it's not what you're saying, though.
Rob, I think it's just the act.
Ron came up with a, what's that?
To criticize Ron here.
Just a minute. Ron's been here long enough that you can take it. Ron came up with an a priori assumption which we must question. The a priori assumption is that with no command, there is no concept of sin. By definition, the sin is, according to Ron's perspective, is not something which is does not exist in the absence of a command. He's right if we talk about the word aveira. Anybody know the word aveira?
Transgression.
Means transgression. Very good. But what does the word
faith
mean?
An opportunity.
Faith means sin. Just plain sin. Where does faith come from? What does the word faith use for its classic Hebrew sense?
That's
willful
sense.
What? Missing the target.
You mean
that's
a mistake?
No, it comes from the word literally when you shoot an arrow.
Yeah, and you miss.
At a bullseye, you miss. That's called a chet. Okay? Now, it's true that without a law, there's no transgression. But it's not necessarily true that without a law, there's no missing the target.
It has to be held liable for missing the target.
Well, yes. But it also takes who says liability. You're only so you're thinking because you're thinking of like a speeder, right? If I speed, I don't get caught. So what was wrong with that, right? That doesn't work that way in Judaism, right?
Speeding, but there's no speed limit sign posted. Then you
know, if you're on the German road, that's the one
with
the
no
speed limit.
Oh, yeah.
You're speeding. Quote unquote speeding. It might be wrong for speed because it's not healthy for you, but like if you're speeding on the autobahn, you're not missing the target.
The analogy would be, however, that on the autobahn, let's say there is no speed limit, but there is a speed. There are several limitations which should be placed on your speed, which are logical. A, that which is unsafe. B, that which is unsafe to others. C, that speed at which your car will start falling apart. All of those things are actually limitations which exist even in the absence of explicit directive. Right?
Mm.
Okay, so it's not necessarily so that you need the directive in order for there to be limitations or expectations which logic places on your behavior.
I got a question regarding the statement. That means without committing a sin or without the possibility of sin?
No, we say this was a possibility of sin.
Okay, so without committing a sin.
Without committing a sin, yes. Okay? So right now we know that without sinning, before man and woman sinned, they had no shame. So of course the word shame, therefore, is a very important word which has to do with sin, and the word in Hebrew is busha.
Yeah, you blush.
Right?
You blush.
Well, I'm not sure the answer is
blushing.
But the most basic verblach, or the simple parts are us, if you have 30 seconds, which you have to do in parts are us, is that the word busha is the same word as shuva. Right? Shuva, which opens the famous Asura, which we read between the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Shuva Israel, return God. Sorry, Shuva, return Israel. I shall have to God your Lord. So busha, which is shame, the same letters as shuva, which is return.
Therefore,
the primary, what we're trying to say, this is not just a cute idea, but the primary component of tshuva is busha. The primary component of repentance is feeling ashamed or embarrassed for which one did. Okay. So embarrassment or shame is a reaction to a sin, just like tshuva is a reaction to a sin, and shame taken, you know, there's two things the person can do with shame. One thing the person can do with shame is, you know, if you feel embarrassed, you know, because you did something stupid in front of many, many other people, so you walk away, right? You find yourself another society to join, right? You find other people who don't know about what you just did, which is very, very stupid. So that's one way of dealing with your shame. Another way of dealing with your shame is actually to try and, you know, since you're ashamed and embarrassed, to try and fix the situation and attempt to rectify what you did wrong. So, of course, if you just leave the situation, that's not tshuva, right? That's not repenting, that's just trying to find somewhere else to go. Right? That's why God says very often that there's no escape from me. No matter where you go, I will find you. So, tshuva, the repentance, which is based on busha, means that you take the embarrassment to the next step and determine that as a result, you're either not going to do it again, or you're going to try to rectify what you did wrong. That's the basic response. Again, busha is the beginning of tshuva. Okay?
Is it possible to say that the purpose of busha is tshuva?
Absolutely. Yeah, the purpose of shame...
That the reason why it was created was so that it would lead one to tshuva.
Right. So the purpose of shame is in order, the reason why that type of emotion exists, I think is true, is in order to alert a person that he did something wrong, and so he should know that there's something which he needs to fix. Okay? So there's no busha without a sin. Now, even if there's a possibility of sin, there is not yet any busha. Busha, shame, embarrassment only comes after that. The remarkable thing is that the shame and embarrassment, which we shall see, which Adam and Chava experienced, was even though there was nobody else in front of whom to be embarrassed. It's an independent reaction. if a person is sensitive internally to what's going on within themselves, then a person should feel embarrassed, even if there's nobody else, so to speak, watching them. There's an inherent sense of embarrassment, which can be overcome. Obviously, many people successfully overcome it. But the idea is that that inherent sense of embarrassment, which a person should experience, is something which is independent, ideally speaking, of the presence of other people, but is rather an internal experience. Okay? So all that's in this, there was no necessity to be embarrassed because there was no necessity, nobody became embarrassed. I want to put that a little bit better. It's part of the human character, which Hashem made or gave us, that a person should feel embarrassed after having done something wrong. It's a gift from Hashem that we feel that embarrassment, right? I remember once in sixth grade there was, there was one time our Rebbe was absent, and the assistant principal came in to sup. And he said a fascinating thing, I don't remember what else he said, I remember from elementary school, remember snippets of things. So one thing I remember is that he said that he once heard of a girl, I guess it's been a newspaper story, once heard of a girl who was not able to feel any pain. So actually, it's true, not true, it's not relevant. And so then she was not able to feel any pain. You cut her, she wouldn't feel any pain. So he said, at first I thought it was a tremendous gift, right? Not to feel any pain. You scratch me or you hurt me, I feel pain. You scratch her or you hurt her, she doesn't feel anything. But then I realized, no, it's a tremendous shortcoming, right? Because if something bad happens to her, she won't realize that it's happening, and it's all the more perilous for her, therefore, to be wounded in some way, shape, or form, since she won't be aware of what's going on. So the same thing is true, and I remember if he said this precisely, but this is the idea, the same thing is true with busha. If a person, busha, just like pain, after a physical wound, busha, after a spiritual wound, is a great gift of God. And a person who doesn't suffer busha, it's a big problem, because he won't know when he did something wrong or didn't do something wrong.
It's a sociopath.
That's right.
Who is criminally insane because they have something wrong with their reasoning system, the frontal lobe.
You're an expert on brains. What do you do? What did you do before you got here?
Social work.
Social work. Okay. Okay.
Drugs and alcohol.
Okay. So, if you're right, if that's the idea, in other words, that's part of the complete, non-psychopathic human condition is to have these descents. Yeah.
I think that even though they were not in front of other people, they were in the presence of Hashem, and that is much greater.
They were what?
They were in the presence of Hashem. I think that they were, most able to realize the presence of Hashem than any other of us. So therefore, when we come to do as committed sinners, not to the Hashem, because even though we are alone, because we are not aware of the presence of Hashem, which is something they were very aware about. And that's why we position.
That's a nice shot, and I like it very much. The problem is I don't think it fits in with the psukim. If you take one page, take a look in the next page, the plus of Zion, right? The seventh pasuk, right? Either the first line in the Hebrew or the first line in the English. But the pakachna in Eshmehem, and the eyes of both of them were opened. And they realized that they were naked. And they sewed them together, fig leaf, by Yasulem Chaburos, and they made for themselves aprons. Only afterwards, by Shmuz Kol Hashem Elohim, Mithalech Bagon, they heard the sound of Hashem God manifesting itself in the garden. So, the simple pshat in the pasuk is even before God entered the picture, they felt ashamed in and of itself, in and of themselves. That's what I'm trying to say. It's according to you, it'll make more sense. I'm not saying you can't think what you're saying, right. But it'll make more sense. The pasuk has came before the pasuk Zion, not after the pasuk Zion.
That's what you're saying.
Wait.
No,
I think they were always aware of the
presentation.
I don't think there was one moment when they forgot that Hashem was
there. Oh, surely.
Oh, yeah.
No,
of course.
Oh. That's why they were trying to do it through.
Very, very basic.
I think apples, they were going
to
be able to...
I was waiting, but you may be saying now, which is your fault. Adam, Jose, Ella, Nicole, and then Adam. A person does not sin unless he is distracted. A person doesn't sin if they're thinking about God. What?
Well,
same idea.
I cannot disagree with you, but I mean, I don't think.
No, but you think
that I don't sin because he wasn't aware of the presence of Hashem.
What happened when he ate from the fruit? Was he thinking of God?
I think. What?
Did he make a cross before he ate?
No, as much as I understand it, because he made that decision on purpose, because he wanted to prove to Hashem that he could endure an even more difficult test than the one only not eating from the trees. He wasn't a mistake.
Okay, found a few, you're too smart. In other words, you read so much stuff already that you can't approach the puzzle on a simple level.
No, but I mean, I think...
No, it's good. It's a wonderful thing that you're a learned person. That's very good. But let's approach this as if we were totally ignorant, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, no, obviously not, okay? It's too bad.
Honest,
yeah. Oh, well, not totally ignorant anymore, but... Let's talk about the Pesukim themselves before we get into the more complicated, issues, right? Which is what of course, what the many great Bafali Mahshav have said, but I don't want to get into that right now. The simple meaning of the Pesuk is that when Adam eats, it has nothing to do with God. And a matter of fact, they were persuaded not to think of God, and therefore not to think that God's command was not consequential, and therefore that they should be the prophecy. Yeah.
Because it says, to answer his question, it says at this stage, it says at the beginning of it, the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die. And then it goes on, and the woman perceived. Now the woman turned around to Adam and said to Adam, look, why don't you eat from the tree? So he wasn't, in that type of situation, maybe he wasn't thinking of God's presence. Of course he knew God was there. But at that type of time, he was thinking about his wife and what this woman that he'd created that he was in love with had basically turned around and said to him. Which is the reason why.
They were not normal people. There was no possibility that they could imagine that they were created by chance.
But they were normal people.
And there was nothing else to think about the shame at that time.
But even the animals were at the same level that they are now. Remember?
That's a good question, Rafi. Okay? It's the same good. But in fact, they obviously did forget. There is something which goes on here. And I'm going to make you happy. Today I don't remember. What? Okay, let's just deal with the Pesukim on a simple level first, okay? Before we become great Talmid Chachamim and know what the great thinkers of thought, I just want to deal with sin as it's presented in Parshas Bereishit. Fair enough? Rashi's not going to say what you just said, okay? I know Fesler says this, and Nefesh HaChaim says this, other people say, but let's just say what Rashi says, okay? Rashi doesn't say...
I agree with that when you've already...
I know.
Verse 6 gives the reasons why they did this in the first place. It says the woman saw that the tree was desirable as a means...
Hey, we haven't got there. You're right. But we haven't got there. Let's go before that. We didn't even get there. All we talk about so far is Pusha. That's all we said. Honest. Everything else was coming up. We're going to go through it.
I have a question about Pusha.
Yes.
Okay. You said that people inherently have a shame if they do something wrong, but isn't there a possibility of artificial shame where you think you did something wrong, but really you actually didn't, but you're so programmed by someone saying that this is actually wrong, and you can look into yourself, and you find out, and later you find out it wasn't wrong, but when you did it, you still feel shame. But it wouldn't be spiritually God-given shame. It would be artificially created shame through other people.
No, that's neurotic shame.
Right,
but that's not the shame we're talking about here.
But how do you distinguish neurotic? Like,
yeah.
I'm living under kingship, and I love the king a lot, and the king tells me that, I'm not supposed to eat bread, right, and ever, and I eat bread, and I feel really guilty and shameful about it. It's false shame, because I'm technically
No, that's real shame. You disobeyed your king.
Yeah, but I thought shame is...
No, but there are other sources of shame. I mean, when we talk about shame in reference to a sin, that's the primary shame, is the shame and embarrassment of having not fulfilled the will of God. But there are other lower forms of shame and embarrassment, which are derivative forms, when I don't do what my parents tell me, when I don't do what my spouse tells me, when I'm not as good a father as I can be, when I'm not successful in excelling as much as I can, right? So those are all derivatives of the initial or primary embarrassment, which comes from not having fulfilled the will of God. But it's not as if they're not valid, they are valid. A person should feel ashamed if, you know, they're stumbling in some area of their life.
What if they did something that they thought was wrong but really wasn't? Like, a lot of people I know, like, in my Hillel stuff, who are trying to become religious, they don't have a real teacher, and they'll do something and feel shameful about it, and they'll tell me about it, and I'll say, that's perfectly acceptable what you did, like, you didn't do anything wrong. And people, like, some people think there are certain things that are wrong, and they're not wrong. And so,
no, but I.
And then they feel shame, but it's true. Artificial shame. It's shame.
No, it's not artificial. No, it's not artificial. Because in their mind, they thought they did something wrong.
Right, they thought they did.
It's not. It's not a mystical thing that if you sin, you feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's if you did something which you perceive to be wrong, you should be embarrassed. Right.
But the Adam and Eve, the only shame they could have is real life.
How
could they base, like, I think this is wrong? You don't just come up with, you know, out of your head and say, I think it's wrong to, you know, stamp on a table. I mean, there's no basis for it. It comes from your society, or it comes from someone commanding you what is right. You can't decide what is wrong.
Why do you say that? I don't understand why you say that. Let's say a person feels embarrassed because, how should I put this? Let's take a case in the Chumash, right? In the case of the Chumash where the thing they weren't yet embarrassed about was the fact that they were naked, right?
Right.
So that indication of that would be that a person inherently does not be embarrassed if they're naked, right?
Right.
Yet most people are embarrassed if they're naked.
Because they're told we should be honest.
How do you know? Let's say. But it's supposed. It seems like it's a universal thing, not just. That's a minority. But why should societies, all, for the most part, I mean, 99% of societies in the world, have something against being naked?
Completely
naked. What?
They're originally based upon the Bible. If you go to tribal Africa,
the Bible.
If you look at American culture, it's based on Christianity, based on...
Yeah, but I thought that was pygmies in Africa.
Yeah, but they don't wear men's clothes.
But they do wear something. Why wear anything? It's very hot there. It's much more convenient not to wear anything, right? No, they all wear something.
Yeah,
oh, almost. Not everybody. So I think...
Why do they wear something?
What?
They want to do the kids are young.
Actually, they're sort of like a decoration, you know?
It's more of a decoration.
Because I'm something.
It's more of an honor.
The reason why I did it is because there's certain things inherently which a person is embarrassed about. If you kill somebody inadvertently, Rahman was fine, right? So it's not something which is, you know, a crime. But most people feel devastated, embarrassed, I think. If they do something like that. Inadvertently. It is artificial, but it means that the presence of sin is the basis of shame. Before there was any sin, there was nothing to be ashamed about. So that only became inherent in human nature, like several other things, after the sin was committed.
Before the sin, was there such a thing as right or wrong?
Yes. That's what he said before.
The whole point of the tree is to know the
knowledge of good and evil.
Knowledge of good and evil. And what you know is evil is that you have a choice to do evil.
As a matter of fact, you don't know what good is if it doesn't exist.
No, knowledge is knowledge is not, isn't it about knowing? Knowledge is about
one without the other. Okay, but there can't have one without the other either.
They were both naked. Then you know that they were naked. I mean, for them there was no difference between being naked or
afraid.
When they said they were not ashamed, I think that they didn't also they didn't know that they were not ashamed. It was no difference for them because, I mean, in the same way.
Right, why wasn't it?
Well, what it was.
Why?
They were ashamed, yeah.
Because they believed that they were alone at the time. Until they, as soon as they heard God,
they weren't alone.
They had no reason.
They had not. They were, the Gemara says that the angels came down and fed them. Whatever there was, there's spiritual forces. There were animals. There was enough.
So why when God came, did they hide? Why when God came, did they hide?
Okay, we have time to get. Let me make you before you attack me further, and I'm dreading attack. But before you attack me, let me submit to you something. I would submit that good and evil stem not from the first command. The first command is actually on page 12. I really should have started from there. I apologize. The first command is on page 12 by Tzad Hashem Elohim Adam Lemor, where it says on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10 lines down.
Yeah.
10 lines down, verse 15 says Vav. I mean, it says Zayin, verse 16 says Zayin. By Tzad Hashem Elohim Adam, Hashem God commanded the man, say saying, we call Eitz Hadan a chol tochel, every tree in the garden you may freely eat, really means you should eat. Umeitz Hadas tov ara lusuchan menu, but of the tree of knowledge of good and bad, you must not eat thereof. Kiviyom achol chol mimenu mos tamus. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die.
Okay, so they had a
conversation. One thing we see from this is that even after they were commanded, they didn't yet have a sense of shame until they actually committed the sin, right? So without sin, not without the possibility of sin, without sin there is no shame. Okay, the command preceded. The command is before the commission. But I would submit to you another thing. I will tell you when good and evil entered into the picture. And that is on page 10. On page 10, you can see in verse 7. On page 8, the first line. Vayomer Elohim, and God said, Ma'aseh Adam b'tzamid k'in musayna, let us make man in our image after our likeness.
What does that mean?
Our likeness.
Well,
that's an issue. I'm going to give. This is my premise to you. This is my hypothesis. My hypothesis is that the sense of what is good. Let's not say evil right now. But the sense of what is good and what is bad enters into the picture the moment man is created to resemble God. In other words, by definition, that which is godly then becomes good, and that which is not godly then becomes bad. Not necessarily a sin yet, but it's certainly, or not necessarily a transgression yet, I should say, but it certainly misses the mark to do something negative from that point on. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'll repeat it again. We before said there's a difference between a sin, a chet, missing the target, and a avera, a transgression. It is not possible to have a transgression until page 12, until there is a command. Only once there is a command can there be a transgression. But it's possible to have a sin from page 8, from the time man is created initially in the image and form, whatever that means, of God. Do you see that? Do you agree with me about that?
I don't understand the connection about that he was made in his likeness so therefore he can sin.
Because now he has the responsibility to be divine. If you're created with the capacity to be divine, then that should indicate to you that you're supposed to be divine.
There's a standard.
Right. If you don't...
The standard, the ultimate standard.
Right. So if you don't attempt to meet that standard, then you're missing the mark.
Okay.
You're not on target. Okay? Who said be a giver? Okay. Another guy who's a big scholar. Everybody's such a big scholar. Everybody knows that. We always know that. Anybody know that? I might as well just leave it this way.
No. Just talk at that level. That's all.
That before it was, until the case it was Emet Sheker, and then after
the Rambam, not now. We'll get to that later on. Okay, the question right now we have to deal with, because you asked it before, is it's a little bit parenthetical, but it's important to deal with, is what does it mean, b'tzameinu k'dmuseinu?
That's all the
Rashi
answers.
What
does
Rashi
say? Rashi, with the power of
understanding. Rashi's okay. Rashi's okay. But I despite the fact that it's Rashi, I want to give you my own spin on this, which is the...
Are we going to be able to tap you for this turn?
Oh, yeah. You're saying in the image of God, since man was not made perfect, in the image of God was the desire to strive to be like God, therefore he is able to miss that mark.
That's right. And that's why the next verse on page 8 tells him, and now go conquer the world. Because conquering the world, in a positive sense, right, is the one which is what is being godly. Ruling over the world in a benevolent fashion is what being godly is all about. So go ahead and start doing that.
Man was not made complete so that man could be like a human becoming, where an animal was made complete.
But that's true. That it was given the capacity to become the more and more divine.
Yeah, so an animal is.
You said man was not created perfect?
Of course man wasn't created perfect.
But doesn't a pasuk say in Kohelet, it says God made man perfect?
No, it says made man straight.
Straight?
So that's okay.
So what?
Straight doesn't mean he was perfect. It means he actually was able to do it.
Yeah, was on the right note.
Yeah, but then he has to go on his down the path. Yeah.
I don't understand how you said there's no way to transgress the Shining Commandment and not to...
If there's a goal and you don't reach that goal, or you don't attempt to reach that goal, let's say, that's missing the mark, that's a chait.
You're not falling short.
Moment there's a mission, which you're supposed to achieve, or logic dictates you should achieve, so if you don't achieve that mission, you're sinning. You're not transgressing unless there was explicit command and you if you cross that line. Exactly. Okay, that's falling short. Now, the word tselem, just very quickly, the word tselem really stems from the word tsel.
Tselem?
Yeah, that's supposed to be alarm. It stems from the word tsel. What does the word tsel mean? Shadow. In Hebrew it means shadow, or more accurately, reflection.
They're very different things.
Yeah, but Hebrew they're similar. Reflection in the mirror is also called a tell. Okay, it's called the tell of an individual. So the tellen actually means, but really out the man for now, which has all sorts of Kabbalistic explanations. But it means a shadow or a reflection, meaning a human being reflects the God. If you want to be God's reflection, it's not God. It's just like you, your reflection or your shadow is not you, right? So you want to see a reflection of God, a shadow of God, right? Not a full, something which is less, but reflects God in a certain way. Look at a human being. That's a telling of a thing. That's a reflection of God, right?
Human being at his best or just a human being?
What?
A human being at his best or just a human being?
That's a good question. I imagine a human being who's functioning in a human way. Yeah. The best. You mean at his best or trying to be his best.
Not being an animal.
Right, not being an animal. Then the word mus, of course, comes from a different Hebrew word. What does the mus mean?
Mm-hmm.
Similar, right? So it comes from the word domeh, which means similar. So what does similar mean? Similar means not just that he reflects God, but he has powers which are similar to God. Not, of course, actually. Again, they're nowhere near God's powers, right? God can do all sorts of things that you can't do, right? But, excuse me? Yeah, they can't fly. Neither can God fly, by the way. So the point is that there's a similarity between us and God in that we have similar forces. We're endowed with similar forces to God, and the primary similarity is, of course, the similarity of will. Will. God has will.
We have Russell.
Right? And animals don't have will. Animals don't have will. They have
instinct. Instinct, right?
They are
created. Well, I guess they...
Created as an act of will, especially by God. He
right.
willed it and then it came into being.
Like, humans have a big will to create
things. Right, that's the similarity. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Isn't the domain not total?
Because the domain is not total. Because if you're... No! Well, nothing is similar. Something which is domain to something else, by definition, not the same as the other thing. It's similar to that. It resembles it, but it's not the same. Right? So that's the thing. Okay, so in the meantime, we have to stop here. So far what we've done today, not very much, but we've hypothesized that the possibility of sinning as missing the mark starts with page 8. The possibility of transgressing starts with page 12. And prior to the sin, to actually sinning, there is no sense of shame. And shame is a gift or a trait which God implanted within us in order to realize that we sinned and in order to start the process of tshuva. That's what we said so far. So we are near the ending of the
time. So then being naked is not a sin.
No, of course not. It's not a sin.
But being naked with your...